home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we will shout and how we will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold.
God is good. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated.
Amen.
Amen.
day that God told me that I belong to him.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
It means everything.
Yes, it does.
And I was in my music room the other day and getting ready to play my piano. The Lord said, I want you to sing this song.
Amen.
Song for a while.
Okay.
And I said, okay.
Yes, Lord.
So anyway, that's where I worship God and practice my music, listen to music, and it's where I sing to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
I always sing him a song.
Yes.
Because
I know he's always there.
He's always there.
He's in me. He's there.
Yeah.
And he loves it when I sing to him.
Amen.
And
I bet
it's
you
just
does.
Me and him.
Amen.
And my hat. And it's quiet.
And
so I sing a song to him. And then I go on and practice my music.
Amen. Yes.
So anyway, you know, every now and then I like to revisit, you know, Jesus' death.
Yeah.
I know they only talk about it mostly at Easter,
right?
But it's personal to me.
Amen.
Yeah.
He died for me.
That's right.
Yeah. He rose for me.
Amen. Amen.
He gave eternal life for me.
Come on.
Amen. If he wouldn't have died, we'd all be damned.
Woo! Yeah.
We'd all have nowhere to go but hell.
That's right.
And that's why it's
think
so
about
personal,
that.
Right?
That he went through everything he went through so I could have eternal life. And, you know, I just, you know, I think a lot about Jesus. And there's nothing, I don't want nothing of this world.
No.
I don't crave worldly things. And all I want is him.
Amen.
And I just want to get better and better and better. And, you know, I just want him to make me and mold me into what he wants me to be.
Amen.
I just want to
I'm
please
sure
him
will.
And
Amen.
Put a smile on his face.
Right.
I'm going to sing the old rugged cross.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sing, brother.
On a hill, on a hill, sweet old rugged cross, the end. Thank you.
so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on a good cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me.
Sacrifice that Jesus made. Every word that he said has such greater meaning to me now. For years, I know what he said, but now I know what he meant. Okay, come on, Christy. We're gonna do a song. Ain't no way I can do four things. I can play the organ, I can play the violin, I can kind of sing, I can make a joyful noise, and I can raise my hands. So ain't no way I'm gonna sit here in the congregation of the blessed
of the believers
and not do anything.
Amen.
This beautiful dimension where we can just drop in,
yes,
for a couple of hours just before the translation. Okay.
Oh. I'm gonna try to give it to him for sure. I'm not gonna let Brother Mike's show me up. Love you, brother.
All right, wait a minute. Oh, before we start, I just want to say, I know some of you may have known because I told you, but last week my aunt, she got in a little bind. I got a call from the sheriff, and at first I didn't know what the call was, so my husband's like, don't answer, it could be a scam, you know. So I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, what did my boys do now? But thankfully, my heart just kind of jumped out. But it was a call. They called me because my aunt, she ran into a ditch in the middle of the highway, got stuck in the mud, and come find out she had driven 2 hours. She was in Chillicothe, Ohio. She didn't know it. She was completely disoriented. And so, of course, she's getting now tested for onset dementia symptoms. But the one thing she did say out of all that was, you know, I believe God was with me that whole time. I didn't know where I was. And she said, even though I believe he had me to get stuck in that mud to stop me, because she was in the middle of that highway trying to turn around. And she got stuck in that mud, and the police caught her. And so I just thank God for that. Amen. I really do. I thank God. So keep her, my family in your prayers, please. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. Hold on.
To be here again. You know, a song is so perfect. My Heavenly Father watches over me. And you know, I think about this all the time. God's timing is so amazing. It never fails to amaze me how he puts things just in such an order. And it just, I mean, even Riley, we're talking, and everything you go through, like what Brother Jeremiah said, Satan can't even touch you without God's permission. Everything you go through, God uses to mold you and make you and put you in this position to be where you are, to meet the people you are. It's amazing. You know, and I was thinking, Satan can't even touch us without God's permission. And Satan only tries to go for people who he wants, because he wants God's people. So you know what? Every time Satan comes up and he says something to me or does something, well, thank God that I'm one of them, that he's trying to get me. You know, like, don't take it like Satan's getting me. Take it like, you know, I'm somebody that Satan wants, you know? Like, sucks to be you. And, you know, I was thinking, amen, to even have that ability to say that, right, there's no sting at all. You know, I was really enjoying Brother Deskins when we talked about that rooster. When I was a kid, my dad's rooster terrorized me. That thing made me scream. Oh my goodness, I hated that thing. And you know, now you're right, just kick it. It's a little just thing. Same, just kick it. You know, and I thank God so much for that on-time message. Because, you know, Riley's going through stuff, and I was like, that message on Wednesday was for my children, you know. Thank God that he talks to us.
Amen.
Individually. Amen. He has something for us every service. And we were talking last night. I was like, I feel sorry for those kids. Because you know what? They don't get to go to church on Sunday. And they don't get to go to church on Sunday evening and ask their questions and get those answers, you know. So we were talking about it. We're in a whole nother day, you know, like can't even catch up. And feel sorry for them. Don't get in with them, you know.
Right.
I was telling her, Jesus died and he was crucified. And they talked bad about him, and he didn't have to defend himself because he knew who he was.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to defend yourself. God takes care of that.
Right.
You know, and I was just thinking,
got you now.
I love this message so much.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad that I can come to church on a Wednesday and hear my brothers speak.
Amen.
And hear God, you know.
Amen.
I can't help but hear God when God speaks. It's in me. It's in you. It's, you know, and it's just such a rest, you know.
Yes.
Because I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's so beautiful, too, to have children to sit in a car with and, you know, to talk about the revelation
yes.
and bounce that back and forth.
Goodness.
You just have so much God in your life. And I just, you know, I was just thinking, I don't want to not say thank you.
Right.
You know, to come here and say thank you so much for what you've done. And
Amen.
I am so looking forward to today's service and all the services to come, because every time I wake up, there's something more that God wants me to do.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm looking forward to the message today because I know it's going to talk to me and give me my directions. I know it talks to all you, too, but it's all about me right now.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
And I was thinking, too, you know, you have that special seasoning. There's an elite seasoning that this word
that's
means,
right.
you know? And
Amen.
I, you know, to have that, I don't know, it's like, I don't want to be boastful, but, you know, I know who I am.
Oh, we know what
and
you
And there's
mean.
Such a beauty in that.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
Like,
right.
Thank you, God, to know who I am,
yes.
to have the answers for my daughters. You know, and I was just
yeah.
telling Riley, I was like, you go to school, I can't sit there and tell you what you have to say. God's in you, too. You speak
Amen.
Over your situation. You talk to those people, and you tell them what God's telling you to tell them, you know?
Right.
And it's like, I don't know, I just was so full. I was sitting there last night and I was like, thank God I have this.
Yes.
It is amazing. It is the most beautiful thing in the whole world. It's better than gold and all these other things, these riches, these
yeah.
stars out here who have all the money in the world and no peace,
no nothing,
you know? And I just have such a beautiful peace. We were even talking about that. I'm ready for the rapture. You know, I'm like every day, if I wake up, okay, there's something for me to do. Otherwise, I'm ready. You know, and it's
yeah.
such a beautiful piece.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it, like, I thank God for what he's done for me in my life. And we were talking about this, too. Oh, sorry, I'm taking forever. Faith.
Amen.
I had faith when I was a child that I was going to marry Jeremiah. And it didn't look like it for a while there. But I kept saying, that's what God told me. And, you know, now I have this beautiful marriage. And I have this beautiful family. And I've been so blessed because you listen to God. And I tell her all the time, I was like, just do what God says. It's so much easier. You can do it all different ways. And it works. God uses everything. He does everything. And I was telling her, God don't play. He gets his man in the end. Break your legs. Do it however he wants. But I'd rather not have my legs broken. You know? And I just thank God so much for what he's done for me. And I just, that ear to hear, you know? It's just, that's all.
Let me jump in here just real quick before he cuts it off. You know, I've been wanting to say something since Brother Mike got up. You know, and I was thinking about, you know, that song, you know. And, I think, well, how in the world could you follow that? You know, a believer expressing their love for
yes.
what he has done. You know, there's only one thing that, you know, in natural types of spirituals, there's only one thing a man really wants out of a woman. For her to love him.
That's it.
Then she can do no wrong. There's nothing he wouldn't do for her.
Oh, my.
He's got it.
Yeah.
If he can just see that, he's got it.
That's right.
You know, and you know, I was thinking about predestination, foreknowledge, you know, how that, well, that's what sparked everything off. Our love for the truth.
Amen.
Yes. He saw that.
Yeah.
Before the foundation of the world.
My.
And by that, then he predestinated a
yes.
seed.
He made a way.
And by that, he gave us the power to become the sons of God.
Yeah.
You know, by that, he gave us the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
To lead and guide, to provide everything we ever needed, you know, to quicken his word every time it comes forth.
Yes.
And I think you know, how important that love is. You know, and Brother Childers once said one thing, if your husband gets quiet, you better stop. Figure out where you missed it.
Right.
You know, if he don't want to talk to you, there's something wrong. Something wrong. You missed it somewhere. And I never want him to stop talking to me. And I'm so thankful he does talk to me. You know, and the way this thing works, the more you love him, the more he talks to you, then the more you love him, and the more he wants to talk to you, and it just builds and builds and builds. You see it in the people's testimony. You know, they're saying, you know, it's greater and greater and greater. And, you know, and that's the way this thing works. And it, greater and greater until we walk right out of here. And then we'll just get started. Like the song says, 10,000 years, we'll just be starting. We just begun, you know. And there's a real secret to a marriage, to a union. You know, I liked what Brother Moore said a few weeks ago about, you know, marriage is just for Christians.
Right,
you know,
right.
You got to understand God before you understand a marriage. You got to understand a real unity. Otherwise, you just got a contract, you know, something on condition.
Right.
That's why they don't last very long, usually. But I'm thankful for that love.
Amen.
You know, that he honors.
He
honors your love. You know, that love for the truth. And if you have no love for the truth, then you perish.
That's right.
He
right.
never knew right. you. He'll never Period. Reveal himself to you. And, you know, but it's a beautiful thing to see how this thing builds.
Amen.
And works and builds. And just like a natural marriage, your love should be stronger the last day you're married than the first day you're married.
Amen.
So
oh,
much.
Yes.
And build every single day of your
right.
life, every single day of your marriage. So, you know, it's beautiful to see how it works. And it's all laying right there in the Word of God, you know. You know, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
You know, and for, you know, these people, well, if I'm predestined, I'll be there. They're sitting back wanting him to love them. He's not going to do it. You love him first.
That's
There's
right.
an order to this thing, you know, and you give, and then he'll give everything.
Amen.
You know, and so it's good to see. It's good to understand it. It's good to have a real love for the truth. And that's what it is. He is truth. He is word. You know, if you love your husband, don't love his word, well, you don't love your husband.
That's right.
You know, you should Amen. Be absolutely Amen. Waiting for his word and say, what do I need today? What
yes.
do you have for me today? What? How can I please you today? You know, that's a real love affair. You know,
Amen.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful to understand that.
Amen.
Thankful to understand. You see a lot of this out here. I listen to a lot of Christian music, and I think, that ain't it.
Oh my goodness,
you know,
that ain't it.
I listen to, you know, people saying this and that, said, that ain't it.
Ain't it?
You know. But when somebody just praising for the old rugged cross, that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Oh yes.
I just wanted to get up here real quick because today is my wedding anniversary. And you know, I was just thinking, none of this would have been possible if I hadn't listened to God. I had to step out, and it was scary. And
yes.
I had to meet this guy who, you know, if we went by our traditions, he didn't go to church at the time.
Right.
It was scary. He was just this unknown character. And I really had to step out because, you know, if you guys know me, I'm shy, I'm reserved, I'm like my dad. And, you know, I listened to God. I held my hand open. I opened up my heart,
Amen.
And I've been so blessed.
Amen.
And I
yes.
just, I didn't want to stay to go by without thanking God, because everything with our marriage and with Henry, it's all been us putting faith in the Word.
Amen.
It's been us listening and applying the Word and found making that the foundation of our family. I have this amazing man who, he helps to keep me in line, keeps Henry in line, gives us the... you know, direction
That's
that we need. And I'm just thankful.
Amen.
It's been 2 years, but we can say that it's felt like it's been 10. You can if you want.
That's a good thing.
You know, every time we came to a challenge in our marriage, we would pray or we would come to church and get the word that we needed and just
Amen.
Overcome.
That's
and,
how
you
do it.
Marriage can be difficult if you make it difficult.
That's right.
That's true.
And if you listen to what God has to say to you, really, it's easy. I mean, it is easy. And Kara's the best wife I could have asked for. You know, she takes care of me and the boy.
Amen.
And and I just want to give God praise for what he's blessed me with. So.
Amen.
I want to sing 188. Get the offering first.
Did you say he's trying to give up? You did. I was trying to get these kids up.
We can get kids up. Sing their song.
Amen.
Amen.
Young people.
While the kids are getting up, I'm just going to sneak in real quick. I just want to thank God. I want to thank God for the body for praying for my family. They asked for a request, and I sent it out on the text. And I just want to thank you sisters for stepping up and praying for my family. I do want to let you guys know that he did pass away. But they asked for a prayer, and they knew where to get it from. And then for those children that are going to have to be fatherless, but she is moving. So I just want to, Pastor Moore, at the end, can you get a prayer cloth for her? She's going to Notre Dame. She's taking the boys, and she's going to move to Notre Dame. She got a job there. And God has it, and she knows it, you know. My biggest thing for her is not for her to feel guilty. So I'm asking that prayer to go out, you know, because there's a lot of guilt and shame that goes with that. Because you feel responsible, and I don't want her to carry that load. That's a load that the Lord needs to carry. So I'm just thankful to be here, and I'm thank you for the bride that prayed for that situation, and God bless you guys.
Amen.
Good to be here this morning.
Amen.
We got a song you're gonna enjoy. Sing it with us. There's a couple of verses here that I hadn't heard before that I really like. So you think you gotta be blessed? Since I've been redeemed. Girls, you sleep first before you act up. Let's see who can pray this thing out loud.
I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed
by the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Washed away.
sing 188, and I'll be the last one today. Been trying to get mine in.
Yeah.
I've been thinking all week about last Sunday night and looking forward to this Sunday night coming up, you know. It's just good to see God moving. I mean, he's always moving, but just seeing what's going on with everybody and the testimonies, you know, just family night, just opening up, being
Amen.
So real.
Yes.
You know, I was talking to Pastor about we've all come from different directions, oh, yes. different places to end up here. We know that out there, it's like crabs in a bucket. And I don't know if you'd ever heard that before, but crabs in a bucket are crawling all over each other,
yep.
stomping along, pushing them down.
Right.
If it even looks like you're going to make it out, they claw you back down.
That's right.
Get back down here, you know. We got something going on. Come hang out at the bar. It's like, I don't want that. I want to be in here.
That's right.
And it's good to see him moving. You know, there was a lot of heat on David that night about hanging out with the body, you know, just getting out of your house, getting out of your shell. And
yes.
I want the body to think of me, too.
Amen.
You know, it's not
Amen.
Just David, because this week work was kind of burning me out. Just every day I was just, like, coming home, going to bed. Like, if I don't got nothing going on, I'm just going to clock out. I'm like, if something's going on, I want to be there. I want to hang
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Because I need Amen. Fellowship. You know, I might have something perfect, but I need something else.
Yeah.
You know, other areas, we're a body. We
yeah.
all need each other.
Right.
So it wouldn't work like that if that wasn't
Amen.
How it's supposed to be, you know.
Right.
So I'm thankful for this revelation. Let's sing 188. Look Amen. What the Lord has done. We'll get him up. Courses. My bad.
I thought you got down from the bus.
All right.
Well, all
right. Well, that was up for the challenge. Practice that.
Look what the Lord has done.
what he's done. Oh, look what Father. Oh, look what you've done. We sometimes look at it and sing that song and think about our natural body. Well, oh Lord, it's such a bigger picture than that. Look what you have done. You healed this body. You've touched the body's mind. And Lord, you saved us even before there was time. Oh, we're so grateful this morning to know what we know. Thankful to be who we are.
Thankful to be identified with the Word of God. Thankful to be identified with the bride of Jesus Christ of all ages. Thankful to be identified with you. Oh, you've done so much. If you never do another thing, you've done so much. Oh, Lord, we want to look what you've done. But, oh, Lord, we can also see what you're about to do. And we're grateful and thankful for that as well. Lord, we come here this morning because we want to hear from you. We want to share in this beautiful mystery that you have laid before us, that we clearly understand that it's no longer a mystery to us, but a clear understanding of who we are. And Lord, as we come here today, we ask you to move amongst us. Move in this place today. I know you have. I've seen you. I've heard you. I know you're here. I recognize your voice. And God, I pray that you'll continue to speak to our hearts this morning. Continue to move and let us look at what you've done. Let us look at the whole picture, not just a portion of it. Oh, down through the ages, they saw little bits and pieces. But God, we see the whole entire thing now. Look what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to touch those that are sick. I ask you to remember the early family and she lost her brother, but Lord, you found him. And God, we ask you to comfort their hearts, knowing that, Lord, he's just placed where you want him to be. Ask you to be with those that are sick, those that are away, those that are, Lord, longing to be where you are, but for some reason or other can't this morning. Ask you to touch Sister Keene. When I don't see her, Lord, I pray for her and different ones in the body. Ask you to speak to our hearts today. Move us aside and have your way in the services, Father. Thank you for all you are about to do. We ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name under heaven, which everything should be done in. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. When you think about all that he's done, how could you not give him the praise? Because he deserves it. Song says you deserve the glory and the honor. It's good to be here. And I got a picture from Brother Rizzaldo of him in a wheelchair ringing the bell on his way out of the hospital. I guess he was going out of the hospital. He was dressed up like he was going somewhere. So continue to pray for him and his recovery. And just remember Sister Early, her brother passed away, and she just asked for prayers for their family. And I'm going to bring this cloth out right now, because if I don't, I will forget it. And I forget who it was for. Sister Michelle, okay. That's why I better bring this out here so I don't forget. It's good to see the body in action and moving. And Michelle's so right. You know, the people, when they need to get a hold of God, they know where God is. They know it's God, but they don't know it's God, if you know what I mean. They know it's different. It's something that they're not used to, but they know you're different than everybody else. So when they get in trouble or they get in a bind, it's you who they call, because they know there's something about you that can get hold of God. And so you don't think you've got anything to do. The only God, I always say, this world's going to see is the God that they see in you. And so that's where your life comes in. You know, we talk about good living. Good living is not for you. For others, that they could see your good works and glorify God. That's how that works. You'd say, well, we don't believe in good living. Yes, we do. we believe in being a testimony that other people could see your light. And what is your light but the Word? The Word in you that's going to light the path before them, that allow them to see something about you and recognize God. And that's what draws them. That's what draws people to church. You know, when they see your light, don't be ashamed to tell them what that light is, because they're not going to know what it is. They'll just know you're different. They don't know Jesus. You know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. And so tell them about what makes you tick, who you are. You know, don't force it on people, because that's what we did in Apostolic. You were gonna hear it whether you wanted to or not. But let your light so shine. Lights don't make a bunch of noise. Matter of fact, if it makes noise, you change it. There's something wrong with it. So let your light so shine. I mean, the lights that are on in here, you don't even pay it any attention. But they're doing their job. And when you walk in here and it's getting dark, first thing you'll do is think of what? The light. I need the light. So when people think of needing to get a hold of God, they'll think of you. So it's good. So it's good to be here. I'm going to get started. We got service tonight, Bible study this evening. So we want to move forward with that. I don't know. They didn't really do the announcements, but the announcements are next Sunday evening. There's no Bible study here. We're going to be at the house down on Main Street in Fairborn. We'll be there. And then, of course, there's the that reptile thing coming up sometime this month, the end of this month. So keep all those announcements in mind. I say I'm not doing announcements because I've messed them up. Here I am again. I'm doing it again because I'll mess things up. But I want to get started this morning because I got a thought this morning that I want to go over. And I wanted to start off over here in Genesis chapter 2. Brother Branham said that's the seed chapter. Right. You want to know anything about anything, go to Genesis. Right. And if you want it revealed to you, go to Revelation.
Right.
The book of Revelations is the revealing.
Right.
So if you see something in Genesis, it has to be revealed in Revelation.
Right. Yep.
So they work hand in hand. They're bookends to the whole Bible. And anything you see in that Bible started here with right. Genesis. And wraps up in the book of Revelation. So I want to go over here to Genesis chapter 2. I want to start with a couple of verses here. Genesis 2, and I want to start with verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And to finish the reading, we want to go over to chapter 3, verse 22, just to put Titus 2 in together, because it's all the same conversation. Starting at verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every which way to keep the way of the tree of life. May the Lord add its blessings, add his blessings to the reading of the word. I want to title the message this morning, the title deed.
Okay.
And I was listening to Brother Branham the other day, and he was talking about the title deed. And the title deed is what we got away from.
Right. Right.
In the Garden of Eden, we had access
yes.
to everything.
Yes. Right.
We had access to talk to God.
Yes.
We had the ability to move things. We were responsible for naming things.
Yes.
We named what we wanted. We moved what we wanted. We were in communication with God. And God and man was one together. And God loved it, and man loved it. But God gave man a commandment and said, don't eat of that tree. And I won't get into that too much this morning, because that's a message of his own.
Yes, it is.
But God said, don't eat of that tree. And the day that you eat of that tree is the day you'll die. The day you eat of that tree is the day you lose that title deed. Because the title deed gave us life eternal. The title deed gave us the knowledge of everything. That's why Adam was so smart. Adam had the title deed. He knew everything. Adam wasn't deceived. Even in the fall, Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. He knew what the consequences were. He knew what was going to have to happen. Adam knew all this because he held the title deed. When you hold the title deed, it's the title deed has everything in it. I mean, when I buy a piece of property and I get the title deed to that property, it has all the things about that property on it. It tells me the square footage. It tells me the lot numbers. It tells me who the owner was. It tells me who the new owner is going to be. It tells me how much it costs. It tells me everything. So the title deed holds it all. Adam had the title deed. Don't sit here and believe that Adam was dumb. Adam was not dumb. Adam was not deceived. Matter of fact, Adam was in cahoots with God. He knew what God wanted, and he knew what had to happen, and he knew what would take place, and he knew the cost of it. It was all in the title deed. Every bit of it. The whole plan. Do you realize the whole plan of salvation was in the title deed? Everything. Everything was in the title deed. So don't think Adam was dumb. When Eve walked up to Adam, now Eve, she wasn't so smart. She didn't have the title deed. All she had was Adam. Now, had she done what Adam told her to do, she'd have been fine. Because God didn't tell Eve anything. God told Adam everything. And Adam told Eve what God told her. And so Eve was a byproduct of Adam. And being the byproduct of Adam, she only received the title deed because she was married to Adam.
True.
Clary's got the house because of, I bought it. But her name is on the deed. Because what's mine is hers. Same way with Adam and Eve. Adam had the title deed. Eve was Adam's wife. So her name is on the deed because she belonged to Adam. She was a part of Adam. She come from Adam. She was what Adam was, she was. Anything Adam had to do, she could do. If Adam moved a mountain, she can move it back.
All right.
Preach now.
She had access to everything because she had access to the man who had the title deed. And that's why Satan knew he could not get to Adam. Because Adam knew Satan.
Right.
Adam knew the serpent.
Right.
Adam knew the story.
Right.
Adam wasn't deceived on this whole fall thing. He wasn't deceived on this whole redemption thing. Adam knew when Eve come to him. He knew all about it.
Right.
Eve didn't tell him anything he didn't already know.
That's right.
So when Eve come with this new plan, Adam was already aware she was going to do it.
Right.
Oh, Eve, what have thou done? He knew what she had done.
Right.
Just like God coming in the garden and eating, said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where he was.
Right.
Sometimes you got to play the role.
Right.
And so in the Garden of Eden, Adam held the title deed to everything.
Right.
So he was not deceived at all. He knew about the fall.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. You say, how could Adam have known about the fall if it hadn't happened? It was part of the title deed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Preach.
Amen.
So it's not as tricky and as deceitful as you think. Now that we're on this end of the story, and we can look back, we can really say, Adam knew everything. He knew everything. You say, how can you say that? Everything, I keep telling you, is in the title deed. I'm running over this a few times for those of you who think that Adam didn't know everything. Adam was not deceived. Do you know that Jesus died before the foundation of the world?
Right.
In the mind of God.
Right.
It was already played out.
Right.
Do you realize that Do you realize that the title deed, I got you, Don. Do you realize that the title deed was a whole story of redemption?
Yeah. Amen. Work on it. Come on.
I'm trying to show you what the real thing, what we're really dealing with here.
Right?
The title deed is the full word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the whole story.
Right.
You think we just found out this at the opening of the seal. No. It's been the whole story all the way through.
Right.
We just didn't know the story.
Right.
We didn't know that that tree of life was Christ himself. In the garden. See, y'all thinking it was Adam, Eve, two trees, and a snake. The tree of life was walking in the midst of the garden.
Right.
Adam had access to everything because he had access to the tree of life.
Right.
Adam did not die because he had access to the tree of life.
Right.
Adam knew all things because Adam had access to the tree of life.
Right.
And at the fall, what God took away was Adam's access to the tree of life.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what was lost. Our communication with the tree of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
We no longer had the ability to get answers.
Right.
We no longer had the ability to know the mind of God. We no longer had the ability to live eternally. Do you realize you cannot live eternally without the tree of life?
That's right.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, there was a tree in the garden, and one of them was, if you touch it, now we have our differences on that. Brother Ben was trying to be polite. He just didn't want to get into circumcision, but he said, now we have our differences on that, but he really wouldn't talk about circumcision. We have our differences on that, so I won't go into it. But let's say it was a tree of disobedience. And as soon as they touched that tree, all people was to die. And they had to put them away from this other tree, because if they eat of this tree of life, they would all live, knowing right from wrong. See, you would have been able to live and knowing right from wrong if you had access to the tree of life. Because if they ate the tree of life, they would all live knowing right from wrong. That's right. You know that as ministers, we have our ideals on that. We'll probably differ what the tree was. We know what the tree was.
Right.
But we can all know that Christ is the tree of life. For one day at the Jubilee there, when they were drinking and rejoicing, Jesus said about the water, he said that he was the rock that was in the wilderness. They said our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. And he said, and they're everyone dead. But I am the bread of life. Amen. Yes. That tree of life that comes down from God from out of heaven. He that eats of this bread shall never die. That is the bread of life.
Yeah.
See, we have to get back to that tree.
Yes.
That's right.
In order for us to live, we have to have access to the tree of life.
Amen. Right.
And we lost that access at the fall of the garden.
That's right.
And God said, unless man gets smart like us and he be able to hold on to eternal life, I got to put a cherubim. I got to block the way to the tree of life so that man cannot live forever.
Right.
Because I already said in my word, if you touch this tree that day, you die.
Yeah.
No man will live 1,000 years.
Right.
Do you know before the fall, Adam lived 1,000 years plus?
Oh, yeah.
So how do you know? Nobody knows.
Right.
He didn't have a beginning in life. He didn't have a beginning. He just lived and lived and lived, and we have no record of his birthday. We don't know how long Adam lived, but I know he lived more than 1,000 years. Because that proves that the curse is not there. Adam was living in the midst of eternity, living in the midst of God, walking with the tree of life, talking with the tree of life, having access, just enjoying life. Not afraid of dying. Uh-oh, what did I do? You don't know how much that took for her to do that. I hope the mic works now. Maybe, I don't know, turn the volume up or something. I don't know. Oh, Isaiah's giving me thumbs up, so that means it's good. But Adam had access. See, that's what the tree of life was. Right. Jesus Christ is the tree of life.
Amen.
Right. And the title deed is the word of God.
Amen. Right.
So Adam had access to everything you have access to.
Amen.
Everything you know, Adam knew.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. He had the word of God. He had the tree of life. He had access to all that. So when Eve messed up, it wasn't that Adam was like, oh, Eve, what have you done? And, oh, we got to figure this out. And, no, Adam already knew.
Right.
He already knew that there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Adam already knew that. Adam already knew it was going to take blood.
Yes.
Adam already knew it wasn't going to be a animal life or wasn't going to be a plant life that does this.
Right.
But Adam did the best he could with what he had. He got fig leaves.
Yeah.
Well, them on. But he knew that wasn't going to be the price.
Right.
He's just trying to get himself fixed up because he knew God was coming.
Yes.
He'd walked in the evening, the cool of the day, with the tree of life every day.
Yeah.
And he knew evening was coming. And Adam said, Eve, we're in trouble. But don't worry about Eve. We got a plan.
Yeah.
We got a plan.
Yeah.
Who's we? Me and God.
Yeah.
We got a plan.
Amen.
And though you did this, and though I partook of it with you,
right.
We got a plan.
Yes.
Now, Adam could have put her away.
Yeah.
But if he had done that, it would have broke every type in the Bible.
That's right.
And Adam can't break the tie. So Adam stepped out with Eve.
Amen.
And by stepping out, he realized that his, and I'll call it eternal life, just so to keep it straight in our head. But Adam stepped out of eternity.
Yeah.
Right.
Into time.
Yeah.
Right.
Willingly.
Adam
had other ribs. You have more than one rib.
Yeah.
You could have this mess up a few times. I don't know. Don, you know how many on the right side? John, you know how many ribs are on the right side? Some of these medical people don't. 12 ribs?
Yeah.
Okay. So he had 12 options before he ran out of options. But Adam didn't want another wife.
Right.
He loved Eve.
Amen.
He so loved Eve that he gave his life for her.
That's right.
Amen.
For God so loved the world.
Amen.
There's the type.
Amen.
Right.
Now let us be very careful that we aren't confused at this point. Thus we seek the word of God to validate this claim. Let's go back to the book in the beginning of Genesis, the Garden of Eden. There were two trees.
Yeah.
One was good and one was evil. One produced life and the other produced death.
Right.
As long as they ate from the tree of life, they would never die. As long as you eat from the tree of life, you will never die.
Amen.
That's what we lost access to. First John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So that's what Adam lost. That's what happened. They lost communication with God. They lost the ability to have eternal life. Remember, when man is born, they're born in sin. They come here a liar. They come here a cheater. They come here on their way out. No man has lived 1,000 days since the fall in the garden. Not one. Not one. Not one. Every one of us was, we were buckled down with sin. We were buried behind sin. We were behind it, loaded with it, come here that way. That's why we had to be born again. We could not even be born again until Jesus, the tree of life, came back on the scene.
That's right.
You know, we had that 4,000 year span where we had no access to the tree of life.
Amen.
4,000 years, we had no access. Now, we had communication with God. But we couldn't live forever. Everyone that died went to hell. And everybody that's going to hell goes to the lake of fire if they're not pulled out of there. So man had no idea about how to get out of this condition. Every man would be born in sin and die and go to hell. Born in sin, die and go to hell. David. All of them. Isaiah. All of them. No man was able to escape the curse that happened because of the fall in the garden. No man could do it because we had lost the tree of life. We had lost access to the tree of life. And you can't live forever without him.
Amen.
That's why your good living isn't good enough. Live as good as you want, and I pray you do live good. But your life by itself without the tree of life is damnation.
Amen.
That temporary thing that we come here and these birthdays that we celebrate every year and on and on and on, that's all temporary.
Amen.
You need something greater than this life to be able to do what God has in plan and in store. Matter of fact, you can't live beyond the millennium in this condition. If you did your best and you made it through it, I can live 3.5 years by the grace of God. But none of us can do without 1,000.
No.
It's so far out of our reach now, we're lucky to get 50, 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
We're nowhere near 1,000.
No.
But we've been cut off from that tree, from the Garden of Eden. Now, we did have the Old Testament saints. After the fall, they started sacrificing with the bulls and the goats and praying to God. You know, men finally got to a place they started to praise God again and pray to God and communicate with God. Now, communication with God is not eternal life. All those Old Testament saints communicated with God. They heard from God. Isaiah and Elijah, the prophet, remember him, and Mount Carmel showdown, he was in touch with God. But you know, when Elijah died, he went to hell.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
No matter how you tried it, we all ended in hell because we did not have access to the tree of life.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees standing in the midst of it. One was the tree of life. The other was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Man was to live by the tree of life, but he was not to touch the other tree or he would die. But man did partake of the other tree, and when he did, death entered into him by his sin, and he became separated from God. Now, that tree back there in Eden, that tree which was the source of life, was Jesus. In John chapter 6 through 8, Jesus set himself forth as the source of eternal life. He calls himself the bread from heaven. He spoke of giving himself, and if man ate of him, he would never die. He proclaimed that he knew Abraham, and before Abraham, he was. He prophesied that he himself would give them living water, that if a man drank, he would never thirst again, but would live eternally. He showed himself as the great I am. He is the bread of life, the well of life, the eternal one, the tree of life. He was back there in Eden, in the midst of the garden, even as he will be in the midst of paradise of God. Here, Jesus was explaining who he was. Jesus is that tree that we got separated from in the garden. Same one. In our thinking, we want to make a tree. Because we're so carnal, we think of trees, branches. No, it was a man.
Amen.
But yet he wasn't a man.
Right.
Because he was the Word of God.
Right.
Walking in the midst of the garden.
Amen.
And Adam had fellowship with him. And he could get anything he wanted. But when that fellowship was broken, no man was able to fellowship with him again. No man could have eternal life. No man could be born and have eternal life. You know, Adam, when he was created, he had eternal life. But he forfeited that. But no other man had access to that tree of life.
Right.
So every man that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You, I, anybody, everybody. That's why I can't stand people who try to act like they're good.
Amen.
Because the best you can do is filthy rags. Because you cannot get into eternal life by your life.
Right.
You can't have access to eternal life by living good.
Yeah.
You can't have access to eternal life by stopping anything and everything.
No.
If you didn't do a thing on this side, you still wouldn't have access to eternal life.
Amen.
Because eternal life comes by one thing.
Right.
That's having a fellowship with that tree of life.
Amen.
And we lost that in the garden and didn't get it back until the tree came in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why he had to come back. That's why he came the way he did.
Right.
That's why he came without sin.
Yeah.
That's why he was born to a virgin.
All right.
That's why he didn't have father or mother. He's the same one as Melchizedek. Melchizedek had no father, had no mother, had no beginning of day, no ending of life. Who is he? The tree of life.
Right.
When Jesus came on the scene, he was that same Melchizedek.
Right.
Brother Branham said, Melchizedek of the old is Jesus Christ in the New Testament.
Amen.
Same one.
Right.
You didn't hear no more about Melchizedek when Jesus came.
Amen.
Some have an idea that the two trees in the garden were two more trees, like unto the rest of them that God had placed there. But careful students know that is not so. When John the Baptist cried that axe was laid at the root of all trees, he wasn't talking about simple natural trees, but of spiritual principles. Now in 1 John 5:11, it says, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Jesus said in John 5:40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Thus the record God stated plainly and clearly that life, eternal life, is in the Son. It is no other place. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life.
Amen.
And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, since the record cannot change, be taken from or added thereunto, then the record stands that life is in the Son.
Amen.
Since this is so, the tree in the garden has to be Jesus.
Amen.
So when you think about the tree of life in the garden, you might as well say Jesus. Only reason they didn't call it Jesus because they didn't know his name.
Right.
His name hadn't been given. They called him Emmanuel. They called him Jehovah. They called him many things in the Old Testament, trying to tell who they were talking with and who they were dealing with. And they saw the backside of a man. They saw all these keys and all these clues of who he was going to be. But when he come, his name shall be called Jesus.
Right.
For he shall take away the sins of the world.
He was the only one that could take away the sin, and the sin was the unbelief that caused us all to die.
Right.
Amen.
It's all tied together. Oh, I'm still talking about the title deed. Yeah. We lost the title deed. We lost access to Jesus. We lost access to the Word of God. Because remember, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word.
Right.
There he was in the garden.
Right.
That's the same one in the garden.
Amen.
That was the Word of God walking in the midst of the garden, having fellowship with Adam and walking and talking with Adam and telling Adam everything.
Yeah.
It was the same one that walked on the shores of Galilee, the same one who went to the temple at the age of 12 and found all the doctrine because he was the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
That's who he was. That's who he was in the garden. That's who he was in Melchizedek. When he went to Abraham, that was the same Jesus. He walked up to Melchizedek and said, should I hide anything from my friend? See, when God comes on the scene, he doesn't hide it from his bride. He lets you know everything. But what we lost was access to the understanding of who we were.
Amen.
We lost access to who we were.
Right.
We forgot we were sons and daughters of God.
Right.
We forgot we come from God. We forgot we were part of this plan.
Amen.
We forgot we were part of that whole title deed. We didn't know nothing about this. And we walked into the world blind.
Amen.
Right.
Couldn't do nothing right. Couldn't say nothing right. Couldn't live right. Couldn't give nothing to God.
Right.
God wouldn't even hear from you. For 4,000 years, God wouldn't even deal with you.
Come on.
Not on the eternal basis.
Right.
I don't care how good they was. David went to hell. Name it. Anybody in the Old Testament went to hell.
Yeah.
Couldn't deal with God with eternal life.
No.
God, we had lost access to talk to God. Remember, Jesus is the conduit to get to God.
Right.
We were talking about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We always thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
But God wanted us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus is going to be our elder brother when it's done.
Right. Yeah.
It was God in Christ.
Yeah.
Reconciling.
Bringing us back.
Right.
Yeah.
Fellowship with God.
Amen. To that fellowship that we have to have.
Right.
We had to have fellowship with God.
Yes.
In order for you to have life eternal, you have to have fellowship.
Yes.
Amen.
So we lost fellowship in the garden. We lost the title deed in the garden. We lost eternal life in the garden. We lost our understanding in the garden. We lost all of that because Adam stepped out with Eve.
Right.
What a fix we're in. And for 4,000 years, every man that was born in sin died and went to hell.
Yeah.
But because God had a plan, even hell wasn't as bad to the eternal seed germs of God as it was for the serpent seed.
Right.
There was a dividing line between those that were going to be pulled out of there. See, God's always separated.
Yeah.
There's some people that cannot hear from God no matter how you fix it.
That's bad.
And there's some people that are hear from God no matter how you fix it.
Amen.
Isn't that something else?
Amen.
You can sit in the house of God, hear the word of God, and one of them said he called me a buzzard, and one of them said he called me an eagle.
My.
The buzzard gets up and walks off. The eagle flies and gets higher and deeper in the word of God. Even then, God knew he had a plan.
Right.
In the midst of God's plan, he had people that he used in the Old Testament called prophets. He had people who would listen to those prophets called saints.
Oh yeah.
And those that listened to the prophet went to one side.
Yeah.
And those who didn't listen and couldn't believe the prophet went to the other.
Right. Yeah.
Those souls that didn't believe God's prophet Noah, when they died, they went to hell and they went on the hell side of it.
Yeah.
Noah, he still died and he had to go to hell like everybody else.
Right.
He had lost that communication with God.
Right.
And Noah had to go to hell, but he was placed over there in God's paradise. Abraham loved God.
Man.
Abraham was a father of faith.
Right.
Abraham believed God.
Yeah.
But Abraham was born in sin and was still cut off from the fellowship of God and had to go to hell. But he was put in paradise.
Yeah.
And everybody that was in paradise all had a seed germ of God in them.
Right.
That's
That's right.
Amen.
Because Adam knew in the beginning that God would not lose one.
Right. Amen.
He knew he wouldn't lose one of his.
Right.
That's why he wasn't worried about it. He said, Eve, we got a plan.
Right. That's right.
God and I have talked this over. Remember we walked in the cool of the evening? Yeah. Well, we were talking about this plan. He don't worry about it. God's got a greater plan. You know, it was by accident. God plumbed you for this.
Yeah.
God made you for
Amen.
This.
Amen.
Yeah. You're the mother of all living. I'm not the father of all living, but you're the mother of all living.
That's right.
That's what Eve means. Yep. She's the mother of all living.
Yep. Yeah.
Right.
Every child that was ever born comes from Eve.
Yes.
Right.
But
right.
Every child that was ever born didn't come from Adam.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why hell had two sides. That's why there was a paradise. Because all of God's children went to paradise. All of God's seed had eternal germ in them. And their seed had to be quickened at some point. But it couldn't be quickened because we were separated from God.
That's right.
Amen.
All right, if the tree of life is a person, then the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a person also. Can't be otherwise. Thus the righteous one and the wicked one stood side by side there in the midst of the Garden of Eden. That's a bigger picture than you think. Adam's sitting there looking at the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. Walking with the tree of life and dodging the tree of good and evil. They were both there. But when Adam stepped away, he lost that title deed. Like I said, the title deed was the Bible. This was the whole story of redemption. It was salvation. It was everything. It was everything. And then when they started fellowshipping with God, they, once man started calling on the name of the Lord again, they actually used bulls and goats.
Right.
But the bulls and goats was not the title deed. All it did was push their sin.
Right.
It didn't make a way for sin. It only pushed your sin because God had a plan to dispose of sin.
Right.
Get rid of it where you'd never see it again.
Right.
Brother Brown talked about that bleach. Right. That bleach is such that if you dropped just a drop of black ink. Now, have you ever had a busted pen? Worst thing ever.
Yeah.
You pull it out of your pocket, or if you had one, that's why those nerds have those pocket protectors. No, I mean not nerds. Those very smart men.
Smart people.
Because a pen, get in your pocket. I put them out of my pocket. No, I didn't have a pocket. And you get it on your hand and you think, and then, or you sit at your desk and you pull it out of and you don't even realize it. You're sitting there and then you see it on your paper that you're working on. You're like, where'd that come from? And you look, it's here, it's there, it's on this hand.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And you can't wipe it off. You can't get rid of it. Matter of fact, it's a mess to clean. Well, Brother Brown told us that's like sin. And God is like the bleach. When you drop a droplet of ink and a bucket of bleach, it breaks that ink up so much you can never, never find it again. You can never reassemble it. You can never put it back together. You will never be able to use this ink again because the very elements that it has been dissipated.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, how much more the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
When your sin dropped in the blood of Jesus Christ, the only one that could pay it. When your sin drops in the blood of Jesus Christ, it so dissipates that there's nothing left of it.
Amen.
Oh, don't come back to me and tell me I did something wrong.
Come on.
I'm not just justified.
Come
I never did it in the first place.
Amen.
And you don't have any proof of it because my sin is gone.
Amen.
When you repent and you turn away from your unbelief and you say, God, forgive me, and God puts that in his blood, and he puts that in his bleach, there is nothing that Satan can even pull back on you.
Amen.
Satan or anybody else. Satan or Satan by any other name, I should say. Because Satan is the accusers are the ones. They're all the same. When people try to accuse you and you've asked God to forgive you and you return them and you dropped your sin, your unbelief, your problem, your child, you dropped that in the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan himself, God himself can't even find it.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad God's got a sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
When God puts something in his sea, he doesn't even remember it himself.
Amen.
God's so perfect in the way he does things. He created the sea of forgetfulness so that God can't even go and pull it out.
Right.
When you ask God to forgive you, it's gone.
Ah.
It's gone.
Amen.
God himself can never hold it. That's why we're not going to the judgment.
Amen. Right.
We're not going to the judgment because God put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And if God forgets something, it's gone. Do you realize he's going to get rid of them the way he got rid of your sin?
Yeah.
Amen.
All he's going to tell them is, I never knew you.
Yeah.
I know you no more.
Come
and
on.
That's all it takes.
Right.
That's
all
it takes.
Remember you no more.
Amen.
God is so true to his word. If he said, I know you no more, he'll never bring it up.
Amen.
He'll never bring it back.
That's right.
When God gets your sin and he puts it in sea of forgiveness, don't you worry about it. Don't let nobody else. See, God forgets, man doesn't.
No, right?
God forgets. Man can never forget. You know how y'all get mad at your spouse? And you know the famous words.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got to forget. You know we say, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. And you bring it up every time we have a fight.
Yeah.
Not only did you not forget, but you didn't forget.
Amen.
Because if you forget somebody or something, you should never mention it again.
That's right.
You should do just like God did you.
Right.
Put it in sin forgetfulness. Put it behind you. And don't even worry about it. When the devil tried to whisper in your ear and said, oh, remember what Steve Belbo did to you?
Right.
He tricked you when you're going down the aisle. I said, I'll never. You know what? Even when I'm walking down the aisle.
Right.
And I know Steve's sitting there. And his foot's right at the aisle.
Yeah.
I gotta overcome me.
Yeah.
And I gotta roam down that aisle and act like he never did.
Amen.
And what if he does it again? I gotta forget. And I gotta walk down that aisle again. How many times you gotta do that? 7 times 7. This is the 71st time. Then I might stop and work him over. But what I'm trying to say is we forgive sometimes, but we don't forget.
Right.
You may as well forget it. Because if you forgive them, then you can't talk about it. You can't bring up, I forgive Larry for something. I'm like, dude, I want to bring that up so bad. Oh, I just want to remind him. But you know what? Don't even bring it up. If you forgive somebody, you cannot bring it up again.
That's true. Amen.
It's on your hands.
Amen.
What are you going to do with it? You going to put it in that bleach? Or are you going to wipe it all over you?
Right.
Every time you see me, you're going to have a problem. You're going to forget. It's like, you know, we've been through a lot. We've battled a lot. We've had a lot of problems.
Good.
You know, but what are you going to do now?
Right.
Come on. You going to remember? I mean, I've known Don for 40 plus years. We've scrapped, we've battled, we've fought, we've argued, on and on and on.
Yep. What can you say?
But what are you going to do?
Yeah, right?
He's my brother.
Your brother. Yeah.
I got to forgive him.
Yeah.
He's got to forgive me.
Right.
I got to love him.
Right.
He's got to love me.
Right.
He doesn't like what I do. I don't like what he does.
Right.
But he's my brother.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's where the bleach comes in.
Right.
You say, well, I don't have any bleach.
Amen.
You better act like you do.
Amen.
Amen.
everybody's sin was on them. And until Jesus paid the price at Calvary, there was no blood, no bleach to take care of our sin. That's why they took all their sins to hell with them. David was just as guilty as could be in hell.
Amen.
Sitting there holding the bag, knowing what he did, knowing how he lived, knowing what he's done. Murder.
Yeah.
Adultery.
Right.
Thief. Lie.
Yeah.
And he sat there in hell the whole time, knowing he's guilty of sin.
Come on. Yeah.
But there was something on the inside of David.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, my. Turn it off.
Amen.
Like, I might be guilty.
Yeah.
I might be something that's not even worth bothering. But there's something inside of me that
Amen.
Is God.
Right.
David loved God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Even though he couldn't get rid of his sin, he knew he loved God.
Right.
He was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
He wanted to serve God. He wanted to please God. But he carried his baggage all the way to hell.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen.
Then Jesus came.
Yeah.
He had to wait. He had to sit there and hold that sin and wait. But when Jesus came, Jesus said, I got some bleach here, guys. If you want to come and go with me, I just kicked the doors down.
That's right.
And I got this bucket of bleach next to me. And as you walk by, take your sins, take your shortcomings, take your problems, just drop it right here.
That's right.
Amen.
Drop it right here.
Amen.
David took his adultery,
yes.
His lie, and everything else, just dumped it right in that bleach.
Yes.
Amen.
And it just disappeared.
Yes.
Amen.
But I thought it was an adulterer. Talking about Dave.
Amen.
Well, that was a liar. Jesus.
Where are your accusers now?
Where are your accusers now? You're sinless.
Right, yeah.
You're perfect.
Yeah.
You're eternal.
Yeah.
You're dealing with the tree of life. I'm showing you everything that you belong to. You belong to me. You're going to come and go with me. I got a place prepared for you that's
nice.
Nowhere near all this sin and sickness. Then Jesus came.
Yes.
Then we had access to the tree of life. Then we had access to get rid of our sin. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God. Jesus was the word. The word come on the scene. We had access now once more to the tree of life.
Amen.
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 We had lost that connection.
Right.
Eternity was now available for us again.
Right. That's right.
And when Jesus came, he paid the price for all of your past, present, and future. That's why I don't care what you did yesterday.
Right.
I don't care what you're planning on doing tomorrow.
That's right.
Jesus either paid it all or he didn't.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Either you're free or you're not.
Right.
Either it's bleach or it's water.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
No, I believe it was bleach.
Amen.
And I live like it was bleach.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. I'm heaven bound because God said I can go. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because he's good.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Over in Revelation chapter 5. Remember, we're talking about the title deed. Now, even though we had access to that tree of life again, we didn't have access to the title deed. We were still in the dark. We still didn't know what Adam knew. We knew Jesus saved. We knew Jesus was the one that was redeeming us. He sat on that mercy seat for seven church ages. Being a mediator between God and man. Every time you sinned, Jesus was standing again. Just throw it over here. Just throw it over here. We do something else. Throw it over here. You say, well, I'm not Christian. I don't sin. Throw that line over here, too.
Put that over there.
Put it all there. I can handle it.
Jesus
stood there for seven ages, winking at our ignorance because we didn't have access to the title deed. We knew that Jesus saved. We knew he had us, but we didn't know why. We didn't know anything. We didn't know what Adam knew. We didn't be as sure as Adam was. Oh, as much as Luther was a part of this, he didn't even know for sure. Oh, he had access to the eternal life, the tree of life. He had access to it, but he didn't have a title deed. He didn't know what was going on. He's still in God. He was still trying to figure this out, trying to figure out what was right, what was wrong. And we get all the way over to the book of Revelation. Chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Verse 1. A book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. There's your title deed.
That's right.
There's your title deed. That's where we find out everything that Adam knew. We didn't have access to this. Nobody had access to this. No man had access to the title deed after Adam lost it. It was sealed with seven seals. When did it get sealed? At the fall.
That's right.
When did it get locked up? At the beginning.
All right.
And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? Who can read the title deed? Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man, none of them in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look therein. Why not? Adam lost it. God told Adam in the beginning, he says, you're not going to get this no more. I'm going to seal this up. I'm going to put an angel in the way of it. When I put an angel in the way of it, you're not going to be able to understand it. You're not going to be able to see it. See is to understand. We have not been able to find the title deed for 6,000 years. No man was worthy. Nobody in heaven, earth, or anything. Everybody was messed up. I didn't see Adam stepping forth. I didn't see David stepping forth. And we were in such bad shape that nobody could take this title deed and read it. That's the condition John saw. And John saw the condition, and he saw it in such a bad shape, and he wept. He cried. Because there's nobody that could answer the call. Nobody that could do the job. Now, Jesus had been the mediator for 2,000 years, sitting there throwing everything into bleach for 2,000 years, forgive them. He started out, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. He stood there as a mediator between God and man for 2,000 years, and we, in the dark of the whole story, didn't have a clue about what was going on. We did not have the title deed. If you had the title deed, you would have known what was going on. If Luther had the title deed, he'd have known what was going on. But none of us knew. It was locked up, sealed up with those seven seals. Though we had access to eternal life, the tree of life, we had not access to that title deed. None of us.
Amen.
We take for granted because of what we know now. We look at it now as like, of course, nothing. You just think about you before you came to this message.
Yeah.
Think about how much you knew. come to this message.
Right. Amen.
You didn't know a thing. I didn't know a thing.
Amen.
You said, but I was raised this message. You didn't know a thing.
Right.
Amen. Without the quickening power of God, you couldn't even understand this message.
Right.
It's the grace of God that he was able to let you see what you see.
Amen.
But here we were, standing there. Somebody needed to open up that book.
Amen.
Amen.
We could not get back to the Garden of Eden condition without the title deed.
Amen.
Oh, they had the new birth. They got a new birth in every age.
Sure.
God dealt with them in every age. But they didn't have a title deed because they didn't know what was going on.
Come on now.
Amen.
Sealed, locked up. No man knew.
Yeah.
Oh, they get mad at us when we say Paul didn't know. Paul didn't know.
Come on.
It was lost in Adam.
Right.
It was taken away in Adam.
Right.
And from Adam to now, we did not have access to it.
Amen.
Right.
That's what the book of Revelation is all about, the revealing. The revealing of what? The title deed.
Yeah. Right.
What God had been planning the whole time, what God was going to do. That's why Adam's like, hey, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Adam could have said, there's going to be a prophet come greater than me. They should call his name Jesus. How do you know that? He's going to pay the price. And your sin and my sin,
right.
He's going to take care of that because you know what? He's going to be born perfect.
Yes.
He's going to be that perfect lamb.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. And you know what? He's going to build a whole bride body.
Hey,
mess that we've made. And don't worry about it because he's got somebody that's going to come and build all the way through and make this thing what it needs to be. And when it's all said and done, we're going to get access back
to
the title of the end. We're going to have that restored to us. Don't worry about it, Eve. I know it looks bad, but in the long run, it'll all work out okay.
Yes.
Brother Brown said, now, oh my. Now, the forfeited title deed is now in the hands of the original owner.
Yes.
Here we go. Y'all thought I was making this up. Almighty God. Remember, in chapter 5, see, you got to understand how God works. God uses titles. He uses positions. He uses names. He uses all things to show what he's doing.
Right, right.
God was on the throne with the title deed in his hand.
That's right.
No man was worthy to get it. No man was worthy to loose the seals. No man could look on it. God himself.
Yeah.
Only God held that.
Right.
Jesus would say, I don't know what to do until the Father shows me.
Amen.
And when God shows me, then I move.
Right. Yep.
Right. That's right. Amen.
So God sat there with this title deed because it was his. And because Adam forfeited it, it went back to God. Back to the original owner. And the title deed, the original owner was God. Because it was his plan.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, it was God in Christ.
Right.
Reconciling himself. He was reconciling the world to Jesus. He was reconciling to himself.
Right.
It's bringing it back to him.
Right.
We get stuck on Jesus. And God bless Jesus. He did his job and couldn't make it without him. He had the blood. He paid the price. That was his role. But you know, when it's all said and done, Jesus is going to be just as much of an elder brother to me as you are.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's just the one who paid that price. And it was God who created him to be able to do that.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. All right. Now, it went back to God Almighty. The title deed to the earth and to eternal life. When Adam forfeited it, then Satan's dirty hands could not take it. So it went back to the original owner, God himself. We're going to find that in just a minute. There he sits on the throne with it in his hand, the title deed. Brother Branham claps his hands together two times. He's getting excited. Me too. Oh, that makes me feel religious. Amen, Brother Branham. The title deed to eternal life, the abstract title deed to eternal life when Adam forfeited it for wisdom instead of faith, it went back to the hands of the owner, Almighty God. What a great thing.
Yeah.
All right, waiting. What's it doing? In the hands of God, waiting for redemption claims. He made a way of redemption. He made a way back. And someday the Redeemer is to take it back. You see where we're going, where we're getting to now? We'll watch this fellow sitting on the throne. All right, waiting for redemption. Redemption's claims. It's redemption. Now remember, for the 2,000 years, redemption was going on.
Right, right.
God was buying.
Yeah.
He was buying what was his.
Right.
This is mine. This is mine. Yeah. This is mine. Throw this in the blood. Throw this in the blood. Blood covered that. I know they didn't have it all. You know why they didn't have it all? Because I didn't give them all to him.
That's right.
I held back the word so that the bride body could go in.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how am I going to blame them?
Yeah.
How am I going to hold them accountable for that? Put it in the blood.
Right.
They were ignorant. Yeah. They didn't know. They didn't have a title deed. They didn't understand the role. They just did the best they could with what they had. So I stood in the gap, Jesus said.
That's right.
And I took the blame. And so I don't hold it against them because they didn't know.
That's right. That's right.
God doesn't hold you accountable for what you don't know.
Amen.
He holds you accountable for what you know and
yeah.
don't do.
Right.
Amen.
That's why people get in trouble, God. Those disciples, those messengers, those people did not get in trouble with God because God
That's
held
right.
back the revelation.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Oh, I love it this way.
Yes.
I had it backwards.
Amen.
I had it backwards. I had people turning down Paul. They never turned down Paul. They just never had access to the revelation because God is the only revealer of the word,
Amen.
And God didn't reveal it all to them.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So he held back. He pulled back from the bride. Just
yeah.
like he pulled back from Jesus of Calvary.
That's
he
right.
pulled back from the bride
on.
And only gave her what she needed for the day and hour she was living in,
right,
knowing
right.
that his blood covered the rest.
That's right.
Amen.
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 That's what the mediation was all about.
Yeah, right.
That's why he sat on the throne.
Right.
That's why he sat there for seven ages. That's why he had seven messengers.
Come
That's
on.
Why they were in his right hand. That he was using them to get the bride body for the age.
Right.
But he
right.
only gave them so much.
Right, right.
I love, see, I'm telling you, I feel like I'm just getting this message.
Amen.
I feel like I'm just starting to understand what Brother Bradham was preaching.
Yes.
I feel like I'm just starting to understand what God was doing because now I see that the failure in the church world, in the church ages, wasn't the church.
Right.
But it was God holding
God,
back.
Yeah.
Holding
the body.
And God was building a body. Had he not held back, he would have had everything in the first part, and you and I would have gotten nothing.
Come on. Yeah.
Right.
He had to hold back.
Yeah.
Because he had an equal age
right, right.
that had to come on the scene,
right.
and he couldn't send that beast until the time.
Right.
So it would hold back on his
right,
revelation
right.
and only give the church enough to do what they needed to do
right.
for
yeah,
the day
yeah.
they were living in.
Yeah.
He'd give them a beast for their day. He'd give them a beast for the next day.
Right.
He'd send them all. He'd send all the ox. What was it? The ox and the calf, the face of a man, and the eagle.
Right.
He'd only send them in the ages to combat Satan
right.
and the hour that they were living in. That's what redemption was. While redemption was going on,
right.
he was sending these messengers.
Yeah.
While redemption was going on, while he's throwing stuff in the ink, everything,
yeah.
he,
right.
everything
yeah.
Luther did, he
yeah.
threw
yeah.
it in. And while he's doing that, he threw the face of a man, the beast
right,
at him.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
right.
and Luther got the spirit of a man on him. He's like, I'm pretty smart.
Yeah.
I'm pretty educated.
Amen.
I can write things.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm against Rome.
Yeah.
And I'm going to write her a letter.
Right.
And I'm going
right,
to put
right.
a thesis on the door.
Right.
And but that's smart. I'm going to write the Bible.
The
I'm
going to
yes.
translate the Bible.
Yes.
That's the face of a man.
Sure.
And
Amen.
The whole time he's doing it, Luther's thinking, God, am I going to even be
right,
saved?
Right.
He didn't have the title deed to know the answer was yes.
Yes.
Amen.
The whole time he's struggling, fighting, struggling.
Right.
And the whole time Jesus is standing there throwing all the stuff
right.
in the ink, and all the ink in the bleach for Luther.
Right.
And you're doing exactly what you're ordained to do.
Yes.
I'm only going to give you this one scripture, Luther.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to give you this one scripture,
right,
and you're going to turn the world upside down with it. The just shall live by faith.
That's right.
And that scripture had been in that Bible the whole 2,000 years.
Right.
But then Luther saw that, and he said, like, he had never read it before.
Right.
He's like, I feel like I'm just starting.
Come on.
I feel like I never read this. Have y'all ever felt that way?
Yeah.
I feel like I never read this scripture before.
Yeah.
And Luther got a hold of the just shall live by faith and whipped the devil with it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Devil wasn't beating him. He was beating the devil.
No.
Yeah.
It was the word.
We got this thing backwards.
Yeah.
God gave Luther the word.
Yeah.
And he whipped the devil in his day with the word.
Yes.
But because he didn't have the title deed open to him, he didn't know what he was doing.
That's right.
Amen.
He is whipping the devil with his hand tied behind his back.
That's right.
He had all he needed.
Amen.
See, the devil was a little weakened then.
Yeah.
Because remember, the more you need, the more God gives you.
Right.
The stronger the devil got, the stronger God's man got.
Right.
Yeah.
And God gets, so Luther, all he needed was a little bit to whip the devil.
Yeah.
The devil's weak then.
Yeah.
Amen.
So Luther whipped him. And Jesus stood in the gap. He was the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Stood in the gap,
right,
paid the price,
right,
paid the price and stood in the gap.
Right.
And all that they saw was the blood of Jesus Christ when they looked at Luther.
Come on.
All they saw was the blood of Jesus Christ when he looked at any of these angels.
Right, right.
Amen.
That's why it ain't about your goodness, about your works, about what you got to do. You will be ordained for your day, and believe it or not, you are going to do exactly what's ordained for you for the day that you're living
Amen.
In. Oh, don't think you're short. Don't think you need anything. God gives the spirit of the hour that you need to do whatever you need to overcome in the day that you're living in.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Right.
We just happen to be the eagle.
Yep.
Amen.
It takes the eagle to be able to read the title deed.
Right.
All right, waiting. What's it doing? In the hands of God, waiting for the redemption's claim. He made a way of redemption. He made a way back, and someday the Redeemer will take it back. And you see where we're going now. He says, what is this book of redemption? This title deed, abstract deed, abstract title deed. You say abstract? What does an abstract mean? It means it searches all the way back to its beginning. Like the little drop of ink this morning that I just talked about. When it struck that bleach, it went all the way back. And when sin has been confessed and falls into the blood of Jesus Christ, oh my, it gives an abstract right straight back to the Creator again. You become a son of God. Abstract title deed is held in the hands of the Almighty. Oh my. Its redemption means all legal possession to all that was lost by Adam and Eve. Oh, my, Brother Branham claps his hands together again. I know what you're doing, Brother Branham. I see why you're so excited.
Amen.
What ought that to do to a born-again Christian?
Amen.
It's legal possession to the abstract deed. Yes. Title deed of eternal life means that you possess everything that Adam and Eve lost. Whew. What is it, brother? The possession of that deed. We are moving into what Adam and Eve lost now.
Right, right.
Luther tried his best, but didn't understand where he stood. Wesley tried his best, but didn't understand where he stood. Martin, Arenas, Columba, they didn't understand where they stood. Pentecost didn't understand where they stood. But you know what? There's a group of people now to understand where they are.
Right.
We're not like them.
No.
We're not praying in hopes.
No.
We're not trying to figure this thing out.
No, sir.
Somewhere along the line, I bet you got a hold of that title deed.
Amen.
And you were able to look at the whole thing. Do you know how you, John, in the book of Revelation, is a type of the bride.
Yes.
Yeah. John, in the book of Revelation, is a type of the bride.
Yeah.
Right.
When John looked in the book, John saw his name.
Right.
Luther didn't.
didn't see his name.
No.
Wesley didn't see his name. The Pentecostals didn't see their name.
Amen.
But the bride in this hour, whom John is just a type of, somehow are able to look into that title deed, and we can see our name.
Amen.
And when you see your name, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You don't have to worry. You don't have to, am I going to get the property? Amen. No, the property belongs to me.
Right.
How do you know? I've got the deed right here. My name's on the deed. On the deed.
Amen.
That's why Brother Brennan was excited. That's why I'm excited.
Amen.
We're not like the rest of the church world who was groping in darkness. We were looking through a glass dimly, but now we're looking face to face. We understand.
Amen.
We see for we know who we are.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
I hope y'all are paying attention.
Yes.
Amen.
Revelations chapter 5, verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not.
Amen.
Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah,
yes,
the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
Amen.
That was not even possible to now.
That's right.
The seals could not be ripped off until now.
That's right.
An understanding of what Adam and Jesus Christ talked about in the garden was not even available until now.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts. Look at those four beasts. The warriors that fought Satan down through the ages.
Yes, yes.
Those four beasts were standing there. They're always standing there.
Yes.
I didn't see the four beasts going to get it.
No.
Nope. Amen.
Wow.
And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Not. Wait a minute. I thought it said a lion.
No.
Chapter, verse 5 says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But then in verse 6, it says a lamb.
Yeah.
As it had been slain. Do you know what he was seeing? He was seeing that redemptive Christ, the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
The only one who could step forth and take that book.
Amen. Right.
The Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb that sat there bloody.
Right.
His blood for all seven ages sat there sprinkling. There's only seven ages. There's only the blood sprinkled sometimes. Every name had to be revealed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything that's on that title deed had to be revealed.
Had to be revealed.
And he could not move from that throne until the six seals.
That's right.
Till every name was called.
Right.
Amen.
Everything. Do you know I went through and looked at the sixth seal? And there was so much that went in under the sixth seal.
Amen.
The sixth seal covered everything to the end of time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It covers all that was happening to us, and then all that God was going to do with Israel. And all that when the earth's smiling, they're going to be crying for the rocks to cry on.
Right.
They're going to be crying for the rocks. The sixth seal covered it all.
Amen.
Right.
And in that was every name that was ever going to be revealed.
Amen.
There was only seven names revealed.
Right.
What seven names?
Yeah.
We sit here and look at it every service.
Yeah.
And wonder if our name's on the book.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the title deed. It'll tell you. And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Wonder what that is. Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Oh. Just tell us. And he came. Who? That lamb. That lamb / lion.
Yes.
And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Who was sitting on the throne? God was. Brother Brown says that lamb came from way back behind the throne. Come forth.
Right.
He was sitting on the throne. That's God's throne.
Right.
The lamb come forth, and he come to take the book from him that sat on the throne.
Amen.
It's God's book.
Yeah.
It's God's title deed.
Right.
It's God's.
God. Yeah. It was God in Christ.
Yeah.
Reconciling
right.
the world unto himself.
Amen.
So Jesus come down through there,
right.
snatched the book up.
Amen.
Brother Branham said the seals were broken. Why? In the last church age, to reveal these truths. Why? The Lamb broke the seal and revealed them to his church in order to collect his subjects for his kingdom, his bride. See? Oh my. He wants to bring his subjects to him now. What is it? Out of the dust of the earth, out of the bottom of the sea, out of the pits, out of everywhere and every place, out of the regions of the dark, out of paradise, wherever they may be, he'll call
amen.
And they'll answer.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. Congregation even said amen this time.
Amen.
He'll call and they'll answer. He come to get his subjects. He reveals his secrets. And they saw it. And time shall be no more at that time. Time has run out. It's finished.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
He leaves the throne
yeah.
to be an intercessor
right.
and a slain lamb to be a lion.
Right, right.
King
Amen.
To bring the world to judgment who has rejected his message. He's not a mediator.
No.
Remember the Old Testament teaching them, as we hurry, we will. When the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat.
Right, right.
The blood ran out
yeah.
after the seventh age was completed.
Right.
And it is.
Right.
So the only thing there now is judgment.
Yeah.
And when the Lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of his Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Then he became not a lamb, but a lion, king, and he called for his queen to come stand by his side. But now in this sevenfold book of seals of redemption, listen to what he called it, sevenfold book of seals of redemption, that the Lamb took within himself was the only one who could do it. And he took it from the right hand of him that sat upon the throne now to claim his redemption, redemptive, to claim his rights, to claim for me and you what he's redeemed from, what he redeemed us from. To see back to everything that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, he has redeemed us back to that. He redeemed us, but it wasn't until this day that the wife was able to understand. Who she, do you realize we weren't even a wife until this day?
Amen.
Right.
He could marry her in Luther's day. He could marry her in Wesley's day.
Amen.
He couldn't marry her. He, Brother Branham said he won't take a wife with one breast. He's going to wait till the body was completely finished. And the last part was the coming of the mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And the mind came by the opening of that title deed.
That's right.
So that we can look in there and get an understanding of everything.
Amen.
It wasn't until this day that the bride could even have a mind to even read it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
Wow.
Cool. Amen.
Revelations 10 and 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished.
Yes.
As he declared unto the servants of prophets. What mystery? The mystery of what God was doing?
Amen.
Not even the mystery of Jesus dying on the cross. Churchill's had that for 2,000
right,
years.
Right.
But they didn't understand the mystery of redemption.
Come on. Yes.
Not till this day.
That's right.
Amen.
Not fully. They had bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
They looked through the glass dimly. They saw a little bit about it.
Right.
They knew it was coming because of the prophets and the ministers.
Yeah.
They wrote about it.
Right.
Paul said, unless there's a falling away,
yeah.
you know, and they said in at the completion of it all,
right,
that
right.
God was going to bring into one all things.
Right,
amen.
Right.
They knew this was going to happen. They knew enough about it. You know, a lot. I was asked the other day about reading the Bible.
Right.
And I said, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a good place to start. You know why that's a good place to start? Because
yeah.
that's easy reading.
Yeah.
It's straightforward.
Right.
like a storybook.
Right.
You read from when Jesus was born to when Jesus died. And you read it four times. And you read those
right.
books, and they're good, and you get a lot out of it, but you don't get the depths of the revelation. You don't get all, you can see it in types and shadows if you know what you're looking for in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but you don't really get the story of redemption until you get over to the book of Acts,
right.
and
right.
get over to Corinthians, get over to Ephesians, and don't even leave out Romans, and get on back over there. But even that, with the church world seeing all of that,
right.
and putting all these pieces together,
right. Right.
they still could not figure out the story of redemption
right.
because
Amen.
It was held under those seven seals,
Amen.
And that title deed was not even opened up to the bride until now.
That's Amen. Right.
Amen.
All together new.
We didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
We were guessing and probing, and God had blood on the throne for our ignorance.
Yeah. Right.
Do you know when your ignorance stopped? When the title deed is open.
Yes.
Do you know when you stop being ignorant, right. when you can open a book and read it?
Yeah.
When you can look in and see your name?
Face face.
That's when John saw it. That's when John said, all in heaven, all in earth, and everything under the earth heard me.
Amen.
You know what I can say this morning?
Yeah.
All in heaven, all in earth, and everything under the earth is hearing me.
Yes.
Screaming and crying this morning. Talk about the title deed that we have access to now.
That's
there.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
But now, he comes from, at this last seal, he's no more mediator.
Right.
He's a king now.
Yeah.
And what does he do? If he's a king, he has to have subjects. And his subjects is them that he's redeemed. And they cannot come before him until he takes the rites of redemption. We couldn't do this until he took the rights. And now he walks forth from a mediator where death put us in the grave. He comes forth with the rights. Amen. And even those who are alive and remain.
Amen.
Till his coming shall not hinder them which are asleep. Now listen close. For the trumpet of God shall sound.
Yes.
At the last trump. When the last seal is broke.
Yeah.
Right.
Hold on.
Amen.
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 Right.
Right.
How long have we been reading this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Any more? Just laugh.
Yeah.
Okay. When the last seal is broke,
yeah.
and when the seventh angel is giving his message,
the
last trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. When the seventh angel is giving his message is when that happens. The last trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord, to meet him in the air. He claims. He has come forth now to claim his possession. Watch. Look at this, my. Broke the seals. Revealed the mysteries. Revealed them where? To the last church age. The only one that's living. The rest of them is asleep. He opened the seals. He opened them, tore the seals off. Sent those things down here as word,
right.
and it's only given to us
right.
because we're the only one that's alive.
Right. Right.
Oh, they're receiving it there,
sure.
but we're the alive and remain. No one has had this title deed on this earth to be able to do what we can do until now.
That's right.
Amen.
All the way back to Adam.
Amen.
When Adam lost it, it's been locked up for 6,000 years, and nobody can have access to it until now.
Right.
Wow. All access.
And when the title deed is available, well, I just got a title for a house I got in January. And that thing tells it all.
Right, right.
It tells the seller. It tells the buyer. It tells the couple. There's no hidden secrets in it.
Right.
If somebody wants to know about your property, what are they going to move? What are they going to ask you for?
Right.
Yeah. Give me the title deed.
Yeah.
Give me the title deed.
And here the bride at the end time, after going 6,000 years in blindness, not understanding the story of redemption, not seeing what God's been doing, had this town of need locked up for 6,000 years, God at the end time said, I'm going to rip these seals off, open up the title deed, and let you read it.
Yes.
And what happened? It showed us the entire thing.
Yes.
The entire story.
Yes.
Everything that Adam knew was coming. Everything that Jesus knew was coming. Everything that we all knew was somewhere in there.
Right.
Well, now we have access to it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
No longer winking.
No.
Amen.
No.
The blood was applied to us at our age. All our sins are gone.
Amen.
We don't disbelieve any part of work. They got just enough word for it, a little bit of thing to believe on.
Right.
And they stepped out on it.
Right.
They gave him a little bit more bread. Jesus broke off a little bit more bread and they stepped out on it. He broke off a little more. He did that 7 times. But at the end of the 7th age, he slid you the whole loaf.
Yes!
He said, yes, justification's right, sanctification's right, baptism's right, restoration of gifts right, restoration of words right, but I want you to have it all. And because of who you are, you have nothing else to do but to receive every bit of this love.
Right.
You can't help but to believe it because of who you are, not because you study, not because you think you're something, not because you're righteous, but because of who you are ordained to pick this thing up.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't care how I throw it, you'll get it.
Right.
Amen.
I don't care how I toss it out, you'll get it.
Amen.
The rest of the world looks at it and they don't want nothing to do with it. Can't do nothing with it. They're lost in their own thinking, in their tradition.
Right.
But here
right.
the bride is with the title deed right before it says, yeah. But it says, this belongs to me.
Right.
This is mine. And I don't worry about dying. I don't worry about my loved ones. I don't worry about my families. I don't worry about the church. I don't worry about whether it's going to be done right. I don't worry about any of those things. I know now what's going on.
Right.
I am fully, my eyes are so wide open that I can't hardly stand it. I try to explain it, can't get the words out. I know what I see, even if I can't tell you what I see.
Right.
That's called a revelation.
Amen.
And because we are eagles, we fly higher and see further than any other age.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. We're not worrying about being justified, sanctified.
Right.
If I never speak in tongues, I ain't worried about it.
No. Amen.
My body did it.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
I'm as justified as I'll ever be.
Amen.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I'll never get any more justified than I am right now.
Amen.
Because the body's done.
Right.
I crossed the Delaware.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm identified with her. This is identification time. This is recognizing what belongs to you.
Yes.
And only now that the title deed is read, we're sitting here reading the title deed, and we're understanding a thing like we never understood.
Amen.
Like no one's ever understood.
Right.
Oh, they've had this Bible, but they didn't understand it. I'm sitting here with a perfect revelation.
Right.
Amen.
See what he has.
I know what he's done.
Yes.
I know what he's doing. I know what he... What, you guys are so blessed.
Yes.
You want to know the past? We got it.
Yes.
You know, you want to know the present? We got it.
We got it.
You want to know the future? We got it.
Wow.
Yeah. Right in the door. And we come in here and take it for granted because we see it so much. And but what you don't understand, you have access to the title deed that nobody's had.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been redeemed. You see everything. You see all that he owned. You see how much he paid for it.
Amen.
You know how he paid for it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's who we are, people.
Amen.
We've been given the title deed that no one's had. Now we're sitting here and we're like fat cats. We just have, we just know so much that it's almost hindering us because we know so much that we take it for granted.
Yes.
But you need to run to these doors. You need to get in this house because every service, this title deed being read. Every service we're having, I'm thinking, adjust a little more. Every time I read the title deed, I find out something else about my property that I didn't know before.
That's right.
Amen.
What I possess.
What I possess.
Yes.
longitude. It gives me the latitude.
Yes, sir.
It tells me the block. It tells me the square foot. It tells me everything about my property.
Yeah. My property.
Just wait till you see my brand new home.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
And here we are, surrounded by witnesses.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Mama Childers. I can go all the way around. We're surrounded, church.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You are living the word of God.
Yes.
You're surrounded by the witnesses.
Amen.
You can see what was. You can see what is. You can see what is to come. All because the title deed is open. We're not wondering anymore about any of it.
Oh.
I'm not confused at all. Matter of fact, every time I come, the word gets more and more real to me.
Amen.
More and more clear. Every time I read the title deed, it gets clearer. I feel like I never read it before.
Amen. The title deed's the final authority.
It's the final authority. Cannot. At all. Cannot.
Amen.
Cannot. And you gotta understand, now that the title has been opened,
yes.
He's not coming down here to save you.
No.
He's already done that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Redemption happened through the ages.
Right.
That's why we say churches is over. Not because we don't think we need to go out and help the people and try to convince them that this is right. But I'm not trying to convince you that it's right. I know it's right.
Right.
I'm reading the title deed.
Right.
I know where I stand.
Right.
I know what God's given us.
Yeah.
And I know that all that the Father has given me will come. So I'm not worried about nothing. So what you gotta do? No, I don't. I own the deed.
Amen.
My name's on the deed. Well, you didn't know. My name's on the deed.
Right.
Christ is already paid.
Right. I own it.
This ain't even a title, you know, with the bank when you take out a loan.
Right.
You don't get the deed.
No.
Y'all ain't never bought a house.
Yeah.
All you ever done was rent.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Exactly right.
Let me tell you what you got ain't a deed.
Amen.
No. That's an agreement for payment.
Right.
As long as you pay, you can stay there.
Yeah.
But the moment you stop paying, it belongs to the bank.
Yeah.
And you gotta go. But listen to me, children. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the thing is paid in full.
Paid in full.
Amen.
There's nothing else against it.
Right.
It's already been searched all the way back to the house. And it's clear.
Yes.
It belongs to me. It's mine. And nobody can take it away from me.
Right.
I can be as bold as I can be.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about the devil. My name's on the deed.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. You might not like to live in a neighborhood, but that's too bad.
That's too bad.
It's my house.
Come on.
It's my deed. It's my lot.
Right.
It's my property.
Right.
It belongs to me. The price has been paid in full.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't even get the deed until it's paid in full.
That's right.
Jesus paid the price in full. He sat there for seven ages. Redemption.
Yes, sir.
He's not doing redemption now.
No.
He said, now this belongs to me.
Right. Christ
paid. It was potentially paid at Calvary.
Right.
That's right. Come on.
Whew, it's new.
That's
it was potentially paid at Calvary.
That's right.
But dying and rotten.
Yeah.
That's 7 H.
Yes, sir.
Bride had to die and rot.
Right.
Just like Jesus had to die and rot.
Blood had to be sprinkled.
It had to be for every age. So it was potential. Brother Brennan said we have potential corn. Remember?
Right.
Not at the time, but he said seed potentially have corn.
Right.
When he plants that seed.
Sure.
When that seed was planted, it was potential.
Yeah.
But until it's harvested, you don't know what you got.
That's right.
And here we are at the end time. The price was paid in full. Redemption was completely done away with. It's completely over. He left the mercy to either he didn't or he did.
Amen.
Right. That's it. Come on.
You can't have your foot in both ages.
No.
You can't say, well, I'm part of the 7th church, but I'm part of the 8th church.
No.
It's no.
All or nothing.
It's all or nothing. In or out. Turn or burn. That's what the children's always says. You either in the seventh or the eighth. That's why when I come to the message and everyone says, well, I had my birth in 1950, and I've been in the message for 20 years, and since I come to the message, it helped me a lot. It's moved me a lot. No. You're either born in the seventh age and you die, or you're born in the eighth day and you live.
Right.
Period.
One or the other. You can't be born in both
ages. Right.
And either salvation is done, oh, and we're still trying to get out of the seventh age.
Right.
Amen. Either he's left the mercy seat, or he's still there. Come on, make up your mind.
Amen.
Oh, I know. I'm looking at the title D. I know where I'm at. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm asking you.
Yes.
Where do you stand?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to say you're in the seventh age, and you're still doing salvation and saving people and trying to get them in? Or are you going to move in the eighth day and say, he's taking a book and he's come down here and revealed the whole story to us? He doesn't know. He's not trying to redeem. He's claiming what he's already redeemed.
Yes.
Amen.
New day.
Nah, it's not that hard. Well, it's not that hard when you look at the title D. Like I said, you don't even get it until it's paid for. You don't get the seals ripped off until it's paid for.
Right. Amen.
The last payment was the blood in that seventh age, when every name was revealed under that sixth seal. That was it. That was the final payment.
Right.
He broke that up into seven payments.
Yes, he did.
And when he got it paid off, he got the title deed.
Right.
They said, who can open this seal? Who can do this? The only one that can get the title deed is the one who paid for it.
That's
right. Amen.
Amen.
Bloody one.
Millie don't have a deed to my house.
No.
She better not.
Amen.
The only one that can have the title deed is the one who paid for it.
Amen.
And Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
So he stepped forth. He took the book. He tore off the seals.
That's right.
He did it all.
Right.
Then he sent it down here, his word.
Amen.
And when he sent it down here, his word, the bride, who has finally had a place where she could receive it, she moved out of the seventh day. Because
right.
It was a new day. We moved past midnight. We got to the eighth day. And when she got to the eighth day, he said, let me give you my mind.
Right.
My mind is my title deed.
Amen.
My mind is my understanding. And now you'll understand the whole thing.
Amen.
Amen.
And looky here.
Looky here.
Look what the Lord has done. You see why I want to sing? If y'all start singing, I'm like, oh, y'all just don't even know.
Amen.
Look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
He did it all. That's right. When I'm singing, I say, he healed my body. I was already in the message.
Oh, yeah.
He touched my mind. We're the mind. We're the capstone people. We're the ones that got the title deed. We know what it is. He saved me before time.
Amen.
Oh, I was going to pray.
Title deed.
Oh, my. Title deed showed when it was paid.
Yeah.
The title deed shows everything.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until this day that we had access to the title deed.
That's
oh,
right.
My goodness. I can tell you this part.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We didn't know who we were
until
we got access to the title deed.
Amen.
They didn't know through the ages that it was being paid for.
No.
They didn't understand where they stood with Christ. But I understand.
Amen.
Oh, they wondered and they guessed and they prayed and they hoarded, you know, they cut themselves and everything else. But I understand.
Amen.
I am resting knowing that I got the deed. And the devil can't take it.
No.
Matter of fact, anything that he gets on, he just has squatter's rights and I can kick him off.
Right.
If he puts sickness on me,
gotta go.
Yeah. Gotta go. Put depression on me, gotta go.
Yeah.
He's just a squatter.
Amen.
I got the title deed now. I know they always was there, but they just didn't have the title deed to know it. The difference between them and us, we know it.
Yeah.
We got the deed. We're looking at it. We're looking at our name. We're doing what John did. We see our name. We know what it is. We know who we are. And he's here to claim what he's already redeemed.
Yes.
Ephesians 1, Verse 4, according to that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love,
Amen.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He's made us accepted. Not what you did at all, not what you offered. He paid the price. He brought the property. All he did was put your name on the deed. See? All that in Luther's age, he pulled them out. All in the Wesley age, he pulled them out. All in the different ages, and in the Pentecostal age, he pulls them out. They're over here. Won't be judged with them. They're rapturing. And then when the last name comes out, and that puts, and that was put on the Lamb's Book of Life, that was slain before the foundation of the world, when that last name has been redeemed, his work is finished.
Right.
He comes forth to claim what he has redeemed. That makes our hearts bleed. But if it went on 1,000 years later, there would not be one more redeemed.
Right.
So after 63, there was no more persons redeemed. No more names. You say, how in the world can that be? I wasn't born until 93. Your name was accounted for under the seventh. I told you there's only seven names.
Right.
The reason you can be redeemed is because you're under that name.
Amen.
Well, I don't believe we had a prophet, then you're not under that name. You can't be redeemed. And no one can be redeemed unless they were put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Who they are? Who are they? I don't know. Nobody else knows, see? God alone. I'm trusting that every one of us, our names were in that book. If mine was on there, now here's where these people get this mixed up about if I'm predestinated. If mine was on there, I'm sure to be there. If it wasn't, I won't be there. That's all, see? Just, that's up to God. It's not him that willeth, not him that runneth, but God that showeth the mercy. See, Brother Brown was saying, you got to have your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, or you can't be redeemed under any name.
Right.
All that came open at the opening of the seals.
Amen.
At the title deed. That's why we can read Romans 8:1 with clarity. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're not worrying about the flesh. We're not walking after flesh. We're not trying to do this thing by ourselves. We know we're part of a body. You can't even get justified without this body.
Amen. That's right.
You can't get sanctified without this body.
That's right.
I'll get as sanctified as you want. You're a dead piece of good.
Amen.
Now that I see the deed.
Yeah.
Now I've read the deed, I see how it works.
Right.
Amen.
You can't even have gifts.
No.
Without the body.
Right.
You say, oh, I speak in tongues all the time. It doesn't do any good.
Amen.
You're just edifying yourself.
That's right.
Because the body's had the gifts restored. Not only tongues.
Yep.
Healing, signs, wonders, name it. Everything has been restored to the body.
Yes.
And now we're sitting here with the title deed, knowing exactly who we are,
Amen.
Knowing what we have, what we're about, and can't nobody do anything. We've had that abstract run all the way back to the beginning.
Right.
Nothing can be put against us.
Amen.
One more quote and I'm closing. The abstract title.
Mm-hmm.
The debt is settled. Everything against it has been struck off. Ha, ha, ha. Glory. I may be acting silly, but I feel good. Notice it. Oh, an abstract D. Do you realize what that means? Do you realize what that means, brother? There is nothing can take it away from you. Amen.
Amen.
I am a holder. Amen. What deed I have now cast in on my beneficiary of his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
He became me that I may become him.
Yes.
Now he has become a sinner that I might become a son. Amen.
Amen.
And hold the abstract deed.
Amen.
For these signs shall follow them that believe. See, the abstract deed, everything's ours. And we know it now. That thing is, we know it. Because of the title deed in your hands now, you know exactly what it is about.
Yeah.
We're not guessing at this. We're not wondering. We've got what Adam walked in the cool of the evening.
Yes. Yeah.
Fellowship with the tree of life. We're walking now in the cool of the evening.
Right.
Fellowshipping.
Glory.
With the tree of life. We're him walking, talking, having full fellowship, knowing exactly what's on the title deed. Not guessing, not hoping, not praying, not thinking, I know I'm going back to God where I come from. I know there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me because of who I am. We are the abstract deed standing on the face of the earth. Cleaned all the way back to Adam.
Yes.
Amen.
Nothing on us now.
Amen.
Nothing can hold us. Amen. Nothing can tie us. Nothing can prevent us. Satan has nothing on us now.
Amen.
Wow. What a wonder. What a people we are.
Amen.
What an hour to be living. And all the hours you'd have to live and choose to live from. What hour would you want to live? I'd want to live in the hour where the abstract deed is laying in my hand.
Amen.
And I can look on it and read it and see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, oh, God, we're so grateful to know what we know. How blessed these pilgrims are. To be able to see what we see and understand clearly the hour that we're living in and who we are. That the price is paid, is done, it's over, it's finished. And Lord, we are the partakers of that. We're the beneficiaries. Our names are on that deed. It belongs to us. You paid the price, but you gave it to us. And Lord, all we can say is thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to us. Thank you, Lord, for opening the seals. Thank you, Lord, for providing the way. Thank you, Lord, for paying the price. All of it's in there together. You paid the price. You brought us back into fellowship. You let us see who we are. Oh, God, and how blessed these pilgrims are.
Yes.
Thank you to understand what we see. Help us to appreciate it. And, Lord, let us just live for you, knowing that you paid it all. It's done now, and there's nothing Satan can put on us. But Lord, you got it all under your hand and under your control. Thank you for this congregation. Lord, I love preaching to them. They love the word.
Yes.
They love the truth. And Lord, when it comes forth, they rejoice as we rejoice,
yes,
knowing that they can see clearly what's being said in the hour that we're living in. And oh, God, how blessed we are.
Yes.
Thank you for this truth, Lord. I ask you to just strengthen us. Help us to stand stronger, to defeat this devil, knowing that he has nothing on us. Let them hear us. Let them hear us scream. Because we found our name in that abstract. In that deed, that title deed held our name. And Father, we want to rejoice knowing that it's already paid for and done. Thank you for this truth, Lord. Be with us, Father. Help us to appreciate it. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, there's a prayer cloth here too. And I want to just stop right now to just, Lord, say, touch it. Touch that family, touch the need, and let it go forth and do that which it's ordained to do.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, Michelle. I'm going to keep this off. Come on, musicians. Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon. Oh, Lord, we know what authority lies in the bride. We see what it means to be a part of this bride. And Lord, we know as we send forth your word, Lord, it's going to accomplish that. That you kept your word for 6,000 years. And you won't let it drop. But you'll hold fast to that, Lord. You said, ask and it shall be given. We ask you today to send your word forth on this cloth. Send the faith to let it accomplish that that it needs to do. Thank you for our sister's faith, and thank you for the faith that you've given us in your word. Ask you to bless it in Jesus Christ's name.
Lamar, you got time for a testimony? I just, the title deed, that the whole message was in the title. And, you know, I'm back there, and Pastor made me work more than I ever had to work before because I had to follow him left and right, left and right. And, you know, when you're back there, you kind of got to shut things out, and you got to pay attention to the movement, you know? And I'm so blessed because now I can finally say, if the details of the title deed, meaning if the details of the Bible confuse you, put it down and read me.
That's right. You know, sometimes people get caught up in the trying to take notes and get the notes and get the understanding through the notes. The understanding comes by the preaching of the word. And if you don't ever get a note, get the revelation. Amen. I think they come from the east and west. That's on my mind here, so I think we're going to sing that. If I can find it. Jesus has set me free. Thank you. I'm looking in the wrong. Jesus has set me free. 108 and only believe. No, it's not. What'd you say? Oh, number three. That's right. Right up front. Come back tonight at 7. And we'll see what God has in store for us this evening. They come from the east and west. They come from the land of far. To feast with the king. To dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face of the glow and light divine. Blessed partakers of his grace, this Jesus his crown to shine. Oh yes, since Jesus has set me great white throne, before the ransom stands. No longer are tears, no sorrow is known, nor death in that goodly land. My Savior has gone before, preparing a grave. Set me free. I'm as happy as heart can be. Well, no longer I bear the burdens of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. Well, my soul was black and dark. Oh, holy place.
The gates of that holy place stand open by night and day. Oh, look to the Lord who giveth more grace, whose love hath prepared the way. A home in those mansions fair. My Jesus has set me free, and my heart is set on Him. No longer I bear the burdens of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as glad as night, but darkness has taken flight. Coming soon. Jesus is coming, and our trials will then be o'er. Oh, what if our Lord this moment should come for those who are free from sin? Then would it bring since Jesus.